Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, March the 6th, 2024. Midweek. Hope you're hanging in there. Jim, I was a little worried you're going to sleep in today after your birthday celebrations last night.
We're here. We're good.
Did you do anything major?
Didn't leave the house, just as I planned.
Sweatpants had, birthday.
Had some sweatpants. Had a few beers. Smashed a deep and delicious chocolate cake. It was everything I dreamed it would be.
What flavor?
Just chocolate. OG.
Nice.
Yeah.
I watched a video online recently. It was how they make deep and delicious cakes.
I watched the same video. How they put the icing on with the big machine?
Yeah, all the tubes. It's like an individual tube for each one of those little ploofs. How do you describe the icing on a deep and delicious?
Yeah, it's a grid pattern of floofs.
Yeah.
Like you say,
floof.
Like if you had an icing dispenser, like you would, like one little droplet that you put around a cake's
perimeter.
They don't
spread the icing on with a knife.
No, you get dab.
Yeah, just dab is a good word. Yeah. Just little floofs of icing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a deep and delicious in a long time. I used to eat that right out of the freezer.
We like open the lid and stick a fork in. Is that what you're saying?
You keep the cake in the freezer and then you'd cut off a frozen piece and eat a piece of frozen cake.
I think it's supposed to always be in the freezer. Like I don't think you really put it in the fridge. It says keep frozen on the box. But we didn't even grab plates. We ate right out of the tray.
Oh, that's romantic. Yeah, you and nice. Sarah.
She starts at one end
naked.
I start at. I rub it on her. She rubs it on me. You know.
You know, it's a special occasion at the Kelly household when you see him at the grocery store.
Oh, it looks like they're getting deep and delicious.
Deep and delicious.
We know who's dabbing tonight.
Yeah, someone's getting floofed. Nice. Did you have a candle on that thing? Did you blow a candle?
It didn't go that hard.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, no, it was a good day, though.
Well, happy birthday once again.
Thank you.
We can move on now until next year. We have lotto tickets to give away at 7:10 with Game of Palooza. $58 million is what that gold ball jackpot is at for tonight. So if you want a chance at Lotto 649, keep listening to Taz and Jim. Music on the way from the Black Keys, Winter Sleep in Minutes. And we'll start things off here with Radiohead doing Creep. Thanks for tuning in. We're Taz and Jim. Good morning. Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song. It's Taz and Jim. Having flashbacks there about my son when he was about, I think, 3 or 4. We had him dress as Thor for Halloween. It was around the time Thor Ragnarok came out with that song. Remember the climax when they're fighting on the bridge?
Yeah. What a combo.
Yeah. That was a good moment in film history. But
I remember it.
We had a little speaker with us playing that song when we went trick-or-treating. And Grayson was dressed as Thor, and he'd be like, put the song on, Daddy. Oh, yeah, he used to be so cute.
Now, though?
Just the other night, my wife and I went back, and we spent like an hour and a half, 2 hours looking through older pictures of our kids. They're still young. My son's 7, and my daughter's 4. But sometimes you need to look back and just be reminded why you love them. Because they can be pretty annoying.
Yeah.
At 7 and 4, the bickering and the arguing and not listening to mommy and daddy.
Remember when they were cute and they couldn't speak?
That was the best.
Hey, we never should have taught them English.
We were talking earlier about deep and delicious cakes. Jim ate one last night for his birthday with his wife, Sarah. And we've unlocked a core memory for one of our listeners. Nick sent us a text message. Hey, guys, back in high school, every Thursday was cake day with my buds. We'd always get one of those deep and delicious cakes and share it. Ha, ha, ha.
Fun tradition.
Hey, cake day. You have something to look forward to Thursdays?
Sure, sure. We had Crispy Friday on Thursdays in high school. when we'd have the special fries in the cafeteria, we'd all get the special crispy fries. I know what it's like to look forward to food when you're a teenager.
Did you have the, I think they were called nacho fries or Mexican fries.
Mexicasa fries or something, yeah.
Yeah.
And it would have the cheese, it was like a nacho dip or something on top of it.
Right.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a big hit in our cafeteria.
Another big day was Panzerotti Day. That was Wednesdays, I think.
Nice.
Man, food was a big deal when you're a teenager.
Can you imagine, though, how jealous everyone else in the cafeteria would be if you whipped out a Deep and Delicious?
These guys ran the school on Thursdays.
They were gods on Thursdays. Remember everyone's reaction when recently it was leaked that Wendy's was thinking about dynamic pricing for their hamburgers? Everyone was outraged.
Yep.
Maybe this is the future. We just got to accept it because apparently movie theaters in Canada are charging more money if you want to go see Dune 2 as opposed to going to see a stinker like Madame Web.
Yeah.
Cineplex locations, general admission tickets for Dune Part 2 will cost a dollar more this weekend than a ticket for any other title.
I have the same complaint about this as I do about the Wendy's thing. If the prices are going to go up, they got to go down. I should be able to see Madame Web for 75 cents. Like the supply, nobody wants to go see that movie. The theaters are empty. So the surge pricing should reflect that. And it should go way down if they're going to charge us more to see a movie that we actually want to see.
They should hook it into the Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Yes, and it's actively moving up and down.
Every audience score for every movie will then be 2.
True.
2%. Like, totally everyone's going to tank it on purpose.
Yeah.
So they can get cheap movies. But I was shocked. Jim Kelly went and saw Dune 2 on the weekend. And you're usually a pretty tough critic when it comes to movies. You gave it a 9 out of 10. I can't remember you ever giving a movie a rating that high.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't pay more to see that movie?
No. I'm not. I don't like getting gouged. There is a service they provide. It's a seat. It doesn't matter what's on the screen. They didn't make the movie. They provide a screen. They didn't pay the film company more to screen that movie. So Cineplex or whatever company should not be charging us more to see that movie.
What about, I don't know, do they charge more for blockbuster movies? Do they have to pay more as a distributor? You know what I mean?
I'm sure if there's an independent movie, there's no way you're paying the same amount as you would for
it
the big boys.
It is capitalism, but I think the big mistake, and people were saying this about the Wendy's thing, is you have to set the ticket price. This is what it costs to see a movie, and you can't go up. You always have to come down. So Wendy's should have called it like burger happy hour
instead
of dynamic pricing. It's like, hey, this is what our burgers cost. But if you come when it's not busy, they're only going to cost this. Just like, hey, this is what it costs to see a movie.
Yeah.
But if the movie sucks, it's only going to cost this. It's movie happy hour.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they do have like a lot of places have Tuesday cheap night or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a step in the right direction.
Cineplex in February did do $5 movies.
Yes, yes.
Except Dune 2, I guess, would have been $6. So there are deals to be found.
Yeah, it's just the perception that we're always being gouged no matter what we purchase, and specifically when it comes to movies. Now this Dune is an extra dollar, but also they were criticized recently for charging an extra dollar if you book the ticket online. People weren't realizing that there was a service charge. Why are you paying more for making it their job easier?
And they have to employ less people at the movie theater if you're buying your ticket online. It should be cheaper.
It's like paying more for groceries at the self-checkout. Why? How could you possibly justify that? It's just they sneakily try to gouge you.
And the phrase dynamic pricing has just become so annoying.
Yeah. Dynamic.
Dynamic pricing. Like we didn't really know what it meant. And now that we've figured it out, it's like, screw off dynamic
pricing.
Yeah,
nothing dynamic about it.
Well, the laughter has stopped in Montreal. News breaking this week. The Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal has been canceled.
Ah, the day the laughter died.
What a mainstay in the world of comedy. In Canadian culture, Just for Laughs is such a huge thing. I truly felt sad when I saw this.
Yeah. I spent so much time. For me, it was always on after school. I'd come home and there'd always be
The stand-up comedy stuff?
Yeah, and there'd be a variety of comics. There's a lot of great Canadian comics, but also international comics. Like, the best American comics would roll through Just for Laughs festivals all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of actually, if I'm being honest, kind of started my love for stand-up comedy. It was probably CBC at 4 in the afternoon after school watching these stand-ups. Their 5-minute sets made me fall in love with the art form.
And they've canceled the festival before you had a chance to perform, Jim.
Never going to happen. But I would have liked to attend as a fan.
I never went. And now I'm kicking myself. I should have gone. I have friends who have been. I have friends who live in Montreal. They say when the festival was on, it was one of the best times you could be in the city of Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Just going from show to show. And you'd go to some shows and you wouldn't know what to expect. And it would end up being the best time you'd have at the Just for Laughs festival that week, like seeing an unknown comic who's just about to break, or going to the super raunchy show.
Sure, yeah.
And hearing stuff that you wouldn't hear really anywhere else. And like you said, it was a launching pad for many comedians, because it's not like there's tons of big, high-profile comedy festivals in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
This was basically the one.
It's the biggest one. And even like listening to American comedians on podcasts, they always mention Just for Laughs in Montreal as, hey, you going to Just for Laughs this year? Are you good enough to get there? It was a stepping stone for all these comedians.
Like Seth Rogen, you got Dave Chappelle, Jerry Seinfeld. A lot of these guys rolled through before they were as big as they became, and they performed in Montreal.
Where would Kenny Hotz be without the Just for Laughs festival?
I love Kenny Hotz.
It's like him, Mike McDonald, like all these Canadians.
Oh, Mike McDonald, like, R.I.P. Yeah.
Brent Butt, like all the Canadian, you know, guys from the 90s.
No, this is a hit to the stand-up comedy community. Just for Laughs has canceled the Montreal Comedy Festival. They're seeking creditor protection.
They better keep Just for Laughs gags. The universal comedy show. No words needed.
Truly.
Yeah.
We've come up with pranks and gags here on our show, and it's not easy to come up with something that's original, that's going to get a great reaction from the pranky.
That's not mean-spirited,
but for, you know, that team, they were able to, week after week, come up with these hilarious pranks and gags that they'd pull on people without even talking.
Yeah.
Which is next level talent.
And the thing that makes me the most angry is when the people participating in the prank are clearly faking it and pretending they're surprised. But the Just for Laughs gags people, I believe they didn't know what was happening every time. You know, when they're like, oh no, you pranked me on modern YouTube pranks. It drives
when you see
me nuts.
Stuff online and it's clearly set up.
And all the participants are aware of what's happening.
No, the reactions on gags were always great from the people.
I believe.
And then they point, there's a camera.
And they're
over
like,
there.
Oh no.
You got me. You got me. Imagine this was just a big Just for Laughs gags prank.
Oh, are we on it right now?
And they're not actually having money problems, and they're not canceling the festival in Montreal?
The ultimate gag.
Where's the camera? Taz and Jim, we are joined by Devin Peacock. He's our sports guy. Big Blue Jays fan, too. Josh Donaldson, former Jay, the bringer of rain, is retiring.
He has called it a career. He's 38 years old, had a 13-year career. He is the second Blue Jay ever to win the American League MVP, George Bell being the first. He will be remembered mostly as an Oakland A and a Toronto Blue Jay. He's not going to go into the Hall of Fame. If he were, though, I think he'd be remembered more as a Blue Jay, because that's where the absolute height of his career was. And when he was here in those years, especially 2015, 2016,
was so much fun.
With Joey Bats, Edwin and Encarnacion, those three guys, they were beasts in the middle of the lineup. And to watch him play, to watch
Kevy Pillar,
to watch him play, the way he interacted with the fans, the way he still interact with fans. He came back a couple of years ago. He was at a Maple Leafs game, got a huge standing ovation. Toronto loves him, and Blue Jays fans love him, as they should. And he should love them, too. It was a really good partnership.
You feel like you're getting old when guys, I now, like, his entire career is over. And to me, he seems like a young baseball player. You know what I mean? He's,
yeah.
Like, that was quick. His career flew by.
13 years is quick. 13, for a career.
He got a late start, so he came up as a catcher. He kind of moved around a couple different positions, didn't really find his way until he was later in his career, similar to Jose Bautista. And sometimes you think with these guys that, you know, make it to the majors a little bit later, maybe they can have a longer career because they don't have the wear and tear in the majors at a younger age. Doesn't matter. If time affects us all, you're still playing minor league baseball. It doesn't matter if it's major or minor league. So he was a major leaguer for 13 years, but he's been playing baseball his entire life, and it catches up to you.
Now that Josh Donaldson is calling it quits, do you think somebody will step up and bring the rain?
Where's all the rain going to come from?
Yeah, where's the rain coming from now?
I hope the bringer of rain for the Blue Jays this year is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, if there's... So, if you're going for the hair, I mean, Bo Bichette has the flow.
Sure,
to match,
yeah, yeah.
To match
Donaldson
Josh.
Did have the iconic Joe Dirt mullet and beard going on. Iconic.
But he's not a typical home run guy, right? Like, Vladdy's your home run guy with the Blue Jays. He's not a bringer of rain, so to speak, but if anyone's going to bring it, if someone's got to bring the thunder this year for the Blue Jays, and it's got to be Vladdy if they're going to go anywhere and make the playoffs.
Well, thanks for the memories, Donaldson. That was fun. A whole career, 13 years. Imagine being retired at 38. So jealous. Thanks, Dev. So all week I've been talking about how I'm dealing with raccoon infestation in my backyard. And it's been a pain in the butt to have to try and get rid of these raccoons. But I'm feeling pretty good about my situation after reading some headlines in the news. Thank God I don't live in the desert.
Yeah.
Jim, you had some car trouble earlier in the week, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Making some weird noises?
Yeah, transmission not doing well.
Take her into the shop. Imagine you took it into the shop, said something, I'm hearing some rattling back there. And you find out that there was a rattlesnake in the back of your car for 2 weeks.
I wouldn't like that.
This happened to a woman in Arizona. She was pulled over, luckily, when she noticed something in her backseat. And yes, it was a rattlesnake.
Man.
A diamondback to top it off. Among the most venomous snakes in the U.S. Her boyfriend was in the car with her. They saw the rattlesnake. They were parked. They got out. She says, if I had been driving and I noticed there's a rattlesnake in the back of my car, I would have crashed the car for sure.
Yes, yes. I've told this story on the radio years ago, but my college roommate, after Christmas, he came back to our house that we all lived together with, and he had a pet snake. He drove from Tillsonburg to Welland, Ontario for Niagara College, and somewhere along that commute, the snake got out of its case.
In his car.
He didn't know if it got out or if it even made it into the car. And then my buddy was driving in a couple weeks later, and he looked down, and the snake was crawling up his leg.
Oh, my God.
Not the guy who owned the snake, our other roommate.
He borrowed his car.
Yeah. And then he looked down and said, what is that?
Oh, God. was he given a heads up that there possibly could be a snake living in the car?
We thought it had gone missing. We thought it had ran away. Like a snake, if a snake could. And yeah, no, he quickly pulled it over.
Experts say it's pretty uncommon for snakes to get into cars, but this woman says she's going to be checking under her seat before she starts driving anywhere now. Here's another story. Glad I don't live in the desert, man. I've heard of losers in Las Vegas, but this takes it to a whole nother level. Venetian Hotel and Casino. I've stayed there, actually. Guy was in his room when suddenly he felt some extreme pain in his crotch area. He was stung in the junk by a scorpion.
Oh!
In bed. Here he is. His name's Michael, telling the story.
I just felt like somebody stabbing me in my private area. I went to the restroom and I saw a scorpion. Everybody wasn't shocked. I mean, nobody believed. Even I couldn't believe it.
So dangling from his underwear was an orange scorpion.
Oh, man.
And they confirmed once he got to the ER that, yes, he had been stung by a scorpion in the testicles.
I went to Costa Rica a year ago.
Wow, you got another story?
Yes. in our room, there was, I don't know what it was, but a scorpion. It looked like a scorpion to me, and it was red. It had its tail up. And so we had a call, like, it was in the kitchen or, like, the bathroom area where you get ready. And so we had a call, like, the front desk, and they sent a guy up. He threw, like, a little tea towel over top of it, and then he had these pliers in his waistband, and he grabbed it by the tail with the pliers. And he wasn't scared of it at all. Like, he had done it a million times, and, like, me and Sarah were out on the balcony. I didn't know if it was poisonous. I don't know, and it could have crept up on me.
This guy went to the hospital. He will be okay physically, but he says he's mentally scarred, and he is considering a lawsuit against the Venetian.
On the 401, the 401, just a typical day on the 401. You never know in Ontario what you see on the 401.
Doug Ford's government has put the kibosh on a proposed plan to get rid of trucks on the 401 in the GTA. So the NDP suggested that maybe you get the trucks off the 401 and you divert them onto the 407, the pay road,
the toll road, yeah.
And the Ford government said it's not happening.
I've never been on the 407. I do feel like it might ease congestion. If
you've
you get the,
never been
I've
on the
never,
407?
I'm not paying for a road. You kidding me? Where do I got to be?
You're paying for a road, Jim.
Well,
you just don't realize
it. Yeah, no, I realize that. But I'm sure it would help congestion on the 401, but also it's not free.
Well, it would also increase congestion on the 407, and how would you like to be paying for your transponder? Because you know you can take the 407, which is going to be a lot freer to drive down than the 401 on most days.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, every truck is now on the 407. It's like, what the hell am I paying for this transponder for? I'm going back on the 401.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then now it's busier.
And now it's busier because all the cars from the 407 are on the 401 because they don't want to deal with all the trucks on the 407.
Oh, dear. Hmm.
Yeah, nothing's free, right? So it is a privately owned highway. So somebody would have to pay for those trucks. And you know who the somebody is?
Yeah,
it's you and I.
That's the NDP. It's free dental care, too. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
So it's not happening. Instead, they plan on focusing on building more highways and roads.
That sounds okay to me.
It is a nightmare, though. Jeez.
Driving, yeah, the GTA, they say, is worse than Los Angeles. It's the worst traffic in the world.
Right. So there's no bad ideas in a brainstorm.
No,
however,
it's not, it actually isn't a bad idea. Like, it's not a bad brainstorm idea.
This wasn't a great idea in the end, but...
Throw it out there. Maybe
we should bring it up.
Maybe we shouldn't have sold the highway in the first place to, like, some private
company.
Highways, yeah, like, maybe we could own it, and then we could, like, not... And then we could let the truckers go on it for free in that situation?
You know who likes the private road?
Who's that?
People with enough money to have a transponder.
I know.
Hey, you're on the air with Taz and Jim.
You're talking about the 407.
Yeah.
Yeah, every other Monday I'm out to Peterborough in a work vehicle, so they have paid a transponder for that, which makes it not a problem for me. And my mother-in-law has a cottage out other side of Peterborough that we get out there a couple of times a summer. And with the 4-year-old and the 7-year-old, it's definitely worth the cost for the 407.
I always feel like a VIP when I'm riding down the 407.
Yeah. Straddling two lanes.
Yeah.
Just like you own it.
There's no cars. You're just weaving in and out of, you know.
Does it never
the fast
get busy?
Lane, the slow, it does get busy, but it's always better. Well, usually it's way better than the 401.
Yeah. Especially through Toronto. If you hit Toronto at a bad time, you could be there hours.
Did you know that this week is actually National Procrastination Week? I think I'll wait and celebrate next week. Seems like a lot.
Yeah. I'll get it done eventually.
I've got details here as to why people procrastinate. We'll tell you tomorrow.
I'm a big procrastinator.
Are you?
Because so many times I do, and then I pull it off still, so I've never really learned my lesson fully.
Oh, I thought you were setting up another procrastination joke here. You're being serious. Everybody procrastinates.
Yeah, but some people are worse than others, for sure.
You know what it's all about, Jim? It's about the valance weighting bias. The valance weighting bias. This is it's a mental thing of like how influenced you are to act based on positives that you're getting out of whatever needs to be done. So, for example, it's tax time. If you think you're going to get a tax return, you're probably more likely to do your taxes early.
Because there's a benefit to you.
If you think you're going to have to pay taxes, you're going to put it off as long as you can because you know at the end of it, there's a negative waiting for you.
Yeah, you're dealing with the inevitable. I always have the mentality, why do it today? If I can do it tomorrow, I'll get it done.
Yeah.
You know? But then the actual mentality is, why put off today? Why put off for tomorrow what can be done today? Which is the better mentality.
It's either you're going to enjoy the moment now and have to panic later, or get it done now and be able to relax later.
Yeah, I haven't learned that lesson. Maybe someday.
Now, it is National Procrastination Week, which is why we didn't tell you that yesterday was National Snack Day. you missed it. Yesterday was National Snack Day. You probably still celebrate it.
Yeah.
I'm shocked to see here. This is a story about the biggest snack treats in the United States. What do you think the number one snack is?
It's got to be potato chips.
No. Rice Krispie treats. Number one snack in 18 different states.
Like, I do love a Rice Krispie. Like, a prepackaged, this isn't homemade, the blue packaged Kellogg brand Rice Krispie treats.
This is the most searched for snack in every U.S. state that I'm looking at. Market research company released a map, shows most searched for snack in every state. Rice Krispie treats, number one in 18 different states.
I never would have guessed.
Doritos was number two, and then Cheetos was number three.
That makes sense because like every house has chips in it or like Doritos or something. But does every house have Rice Krispie treats?
Once you have the kids, like Rice Krispie treats, I know they're probably not the best thing for you, but they're almost one of those snacks where you feel okay giving it to your kids because all it is marshmallows and butter and Rice Krispies, right? It can't be that unhealthy for you. So households with kids, you do burn through a lot of Rice Krispie treats, put in the lunches.
My mom would make them all the time. Like they'd be like in the tray, the big glass tray, and she'd make them herself. And we would get the knife, cut into it, cut a square out, wrap it in Saran wrap, take it to school for a snack.
Yeah. Do you ever ask if you could cut the Rice Krispie treats just so you could give yourself the biggest square?
Oh, dude! Sometimes when nobody was home, it'd be half a tray, and I'd be eating it like
giant. Huh?
They're so good.
They are good. Yeah. They are good. But I was surprised as well to see that was the number one search for snack in the U.S. Everyone's talking about this Dune 2 popcorn bucket. Looks like a sandworm coming out of the top of the thing. It also looks like it could be genitalia.
Of an alien, yeah.
Yeah, alien genitalia, or very sphincter-esque.
It is, yeah.
People have been joking about, you know, what you do with the Dune 2 popcorn bucket after you eat all the popcorn, you get that thing home.
It's all buttery and slippery.
Right. It has an orifice.
It's the perfect circumference. It's like the exact same circumference as a condom.
Little ticklers around. it's very tempting if you're lonely and it's a cold night to make love to a Dune popcorn bucket.
Yeah. Turn the lights off.
However, there are some other uses for it as well. Jim brought it in here. You may have heard a couple days ago, Jim brought it in for me to see one in real life, and I put my hand in it, and it was a very weird sensation. But after that, it was sitting on the counter, and we're like, now what do we do with this thing? And you said, I've got an idea, actually, Taz. I'm developing a game.
Yeah.
That involves a Dune 2 popcorn bucket.
It's called Wiener in the Wormhole. And it's just
isn't that what we were just talking about?
But there's hot dogs. So it's just like like a cornhole game, like a backyard game where you throw it at a target and try to get it in the hole or whatever. So we were, everybody got three hot dogs from around Chorus Radio, and we took, you know, five paces back, and you would take an attempt to toss the wiener in the air and try to get it down the wormhole.
Yeah, standard size hot dog wieners.
Yep, yeah, Schneider's Red Hots.
Different strategies. Some people were throwing the hot dog wieners like dart style.
Yeah, yeah.
I found that worked best.
Yeah, I like the underarm.
Flipping them around.
Yeah, it didn't work that well for me. Mine, you off the rim and out. That was your closest
one. I had a couple
of
rim jobs.
Mine landed on top of it and then stayed there, and the tendrils kind of held it up.
Right, we call that a wiener leaner.
You say that, but like honestly, we had so much fun playing this game.
People were getting passionate about it.
And like people were like, I gotta try again. If it wasn't such a waste of hot dogs, I could see this thing taking off as a backyard game. It's something about throwing those wieners.
Yeah.
Seeing it soar through the air.
Cornhole, can jam, and wiener in the wormhole. Those are your backyard game standards now.
Sure, sure.
We've posted a video on the Taz and Jim social media pages, so if you want to check it out on Facebook, Instagram, it's pretty funny. We got to give a shout-out to our coworker Mark LaBelle, who does the morning show on our sister station, Fresh Radio. He went left-handed. He went with his wrong hand. He tossed that wiener underhand, and it was a pretty clean shot.
I'm pretty good with my left, so...
Slow motion. Jim's got the rim cam as well going in the video. It's pretty funny, but did you hear the slapping of the meat when it hits the floor or it hits the bucket? Little off-putting.
It is gross.
But congratulations to the champion, the current reigning champion of Wiener in the Wormhole for our radio group here, Mark LaBelle.
We may bring it back on the 4th of July, you know? Put it on top of a barbecue, so if you get it through the hole, it lands on the grill.
It actually cooks the wiener, because the bucket is metal, right?
Yeah, cut a hole in the bottom.
Or fill it with water and have water boiling in there.
Oh, now we are talking, Taz!
Wiener in the wormhole.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.